Federal leaders like you know that modernizing IT requires updated technology and a culture shift. Stop reacting to change and start leading transformation. Visit BoozAllen.com/Federal News Radio.
With President Trump meeting with Russia's Vladimir Putin and Special Counsel Robert Mueller having launched indictments against a dozen Russian officials, you might say Russia is exerting gravitational pull on the United States. If and how that will play in Congress that has lots of closer-to-home concerns to deal with, we turn to Roll Call senior editor David Hawkins. And there is a slightly surreal feel, I guess, to this week with the president meeting with Putin and everything else going on Capitol Hill. So what's your sense of whether that meeting will affect the Hill at all?
Well, it is surreal, but I guess it's become something of a cliche to say that each time we think that the president has sort of broken a newly dramatic norm, he moves on and breaks another one. I mean, this is, by traditional standards, kind of an astonishing thing that at least, that he went into this meeting having no interest in talking about Russian meddling in the election, that he didn't list it on his list of things that he wanted to talk to Putin about. And, in any other time or place, a country that where 12 of its people had just been indicted for spying on our election, trying to meddle in our election system, that would be the only thing that a president would want to talk to the leader of that country about. So now, that having been said, Congress has gotten pretty practiced at turning a blind eye, or the Republicans, the president's fellow Republicans who run Congress, to turning a blind eye to his rhetoric, their mantra is look at what he does, not what he says, and he's doing things that we like. Conservative appointment to the Supreme Court, conservative social policies, et cetera. So they, time and again, the Republicans are silent when the president breaks these norms. The Democrats, too, are seemingly, increasingly are, they say that the president shouldn't have met with Putin. They thought it was a terrible idea. But now the Democratic strategy seems to be to let the president sort of talk about himself and be himself. The Democrats want to spend more time talking about other things, winning the election on things that they might actually want to do if they were to win control in the midterm.
Yeah, well, we'll have to see what comes out of these talks and, whether there's anything that Congress has to react to at that point. But it's too early to tell.
I think it is too early to tell. I'm not sure that... Yeah, right. It is too early to tell. It's unlikely that anything they would have talked about on Monday would need to be responded to with legislation. But I guess we'll see.
And the idea of eliminating Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, that has right. been circulating among some of the candidates in the primaries for the midterms. Now it is an issue on Capitol Hill. No one seems to think it's necessarily a serious one, like Senator Chris Coons, one of the Democrats who's trying to lead a moderating charge there. But what is the status of that? And I guess it's going to be discussed on the Hill in some manner.
It is going to be discussed. I think that the Democrats, a few very progressive Democratic candidates, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who was the woman who won the huge upset primary, defeating the number four Democrat in the House in New York City, a couple of weeks ago, she talks about eliminating ICE. So do some other progressive Democrats. Eliminating is a strong word that I think the Democratic political strategists are probably trying to talk people out of saying eliminate it, because it does sound like if you don't have any immigration or customs enforcement, you are going to have, wide open borders. And that is not what the Democrats want. They might want to overhaul it. They might want to start from scratch. They might want to revamp or reinvent. I don't think they're really talking about just doing away with the agency and not having an immigration agency. It is being discussed. It is being discussed separately from sort of the holistic immigration issue, which that seems to be off for now, but there are all these different pieces of immigration. There is what to do, what legislatively can be done about the notion of separating children from their parents at the border. What should be done about ICE? What should be done about the wall? What should be done about the Dreamers? And the DACA program, there's a welter of immigration issues that they don't ever seem to be able to put together into a package that can pass with only Republican votes. And the Republicans don't seem to be interested in putting together a package that would be passed with both Republican and Democratic votes. So it's, yes, I think there's going to be a lot of jawboning, but as we're talking now, there doesn't seem to be, nobody seems to have found the key to get any of this done.
So the ICE people shouldn't have to put out their resumes anytime soon.
I don't think so. I think they might want to not have new business cards printed up, because I think if there ever is a if there ever is an overhaul of the agency, you know, sure, shooting, they're going to rename the thing. That's always an easy fix that the public likes. You know, you come up with a new name for the same agency, but it sounds like you've reinvented it.
We're speaking with David Hawking, senior editor at Roll Call. And there is also discussion within the Joint Select Committee on Budget and Appropriations Process Reform, something that would maybe, I guess, in theory, get the Congress back to the order it's supposed to follow in preparing annual budgets. And there's news there.
There is news there that this committee, it's 16 people. It's four Republicans and four Democrats from both the House and the Senate that are deeply enmeshed in the budget. And they were ordered to come up with a plan by the end of November, I believe it is. For streamlining, overhauling, and making more efficient the budget process. They've done a bunch of hearings. They now say they're now in the process of starting their deliberations. It is a heavy lift because they don't really even agree whether the process needs to be overhauled because it doesn't work right, or it needs to be overhauled because because political polarization has been allowed to gum it up. The most bold idea for listeners here would probably be to turn to a two-year budgeting cycle, where you would have appropriations, the appropriations and the opportunity for a shutdown, showdown, and all that would only happen every other year, in odd years. Probably the appropriators would do their work and would apportion out the money, and then in even years, the spotlight would be on the authorizing committees and oversight of these federal programs and tinkering with policy. And so that you'd sort of alternate a policy year and a spending year. Another alternative is another idea being floated is this idea of turning the budget, congressional budget resolution, which now is a toothless thing. Congress just sort of passes this resolution that says, here's kind of what we think the budget should look like, but it doesn't really have any teeth, turning it into a toothsome thing that would have the binding force of law that would make all the subsequent decisions live up to that budget resolution. But as I say, heavy lift. Republicans and Democrats don't agree. House members and senators don't agree. Appropriators and everybody else don't agree. There was always the old line on the Hill was there were really three parties in Congress, the Republicans, the Democrats, and the members of the appropriations committees, because they just sort of have a life of their own trying to portion it out. They don't agree. They certainly don't want to be given power only once every other year.
Anything else we should be paying attention to for this coming week?
You know, I guess the other thing would be Judge Kavanaugh on the Hill. I mean, that is, you know, that's whether that becomes, it doesn't look as we're speaking now as though his nomination is going to suck out all the energy on the Senate side of the Hill. Looks like he, at the moment, the first week of his rollout has been relatively straightforward. It looks at this point like he is on course to be confirmed on more or less party line vote, with maybe a couple of Democrats voting in his favor. But the Democrats are really tucking into his paper trail. And if they discover something, you know, Supreme Court nominations have a way of overwhelming everything else on the Hill, and you won't be able to hear any stories about anything else but that if there's sort of a big revelation to come.
David Hawking is senior editor of Roll Call. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom.